Hallelujah. Lord's been dealing with our heart in this message we started preaching, I Have the Victory Over. Now, folks, this is challenging me every time I spend hours just going over. I was going to detour or bypass chapter 5, and the Lord laid that on our heart for Sunday night. I just, some things in it I couldn't get away from. I had to spend some time there. I don't want to wear you out, but I don't want to stop before God says it's time. I believe this may be about message number 10 in this, but I'm going to keep going anyhow. And I'm not going to get done tonight. I've got a long ways to go. I am going to try to use some wisdom, not preach a long time, not try to. I done realized the best I can do, I'll never be able to get it all out and deliver what God's give me. So we're not going to try to go but just a few verses tonight. Maybe down through verse number 7. Chapter 6, the book of Joshua. We'll begin reading verse number 1. Read down through about verse number 7. If you could stand with us tonight if you're able. In reverence to the Word of God. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1 says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, notice this in the latter part of verse number 2, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty man. And the mighty man of valor. And you shall compass, listen to what he said, the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Now I want you to notice this, something I've seen in this I never saw before. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let them that our arm pass on before the ark of the Lord. I want to deal with something here. Let me read this again, the latter verse number 7. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let them that are armed, that is armed, pass on before the ark of the Lord. You can be seated. Now, if you noticed in chapter 3, none of them went on before the ark. They all followed the ark. And God showed me something in this that I hadn't saw. Never had I saw this. Never had it entered into my mind, this part of this. But now, they are to go before the ark. The ark is following them. And before, they are to move as they see the ark move. And God began to show me, Brother Arliss, this is a process of getting in the place that God can get in you in obedience. Amen. Through this, you noticed in chapter 6, this battle is won simply by faith and obedience to the Word of God. Amen. We can never have faith without being obedient. Right. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Hearing is not just hearing, then not doing. James plainly stated it. That man is as a man beholding his face in a natural glass, a face in a glass. He looketh and go and forget. But those that hear the word of God, then act upon it, that becomes and creates a faith inside of them. Only one that the remember what David said. We're going to preach a little bit of this in the latter part of verse 7 before we back up to verse 1. I wanted to deal with this. Want you to see something here God showed me. Psalms chapter 23, one of the most quoted psalms, verse number 6. The psalmist David talked about, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll behold the beauty of the Lord. Or I'll dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I thought, Brother Arliss, how that David's saying, we're not, I know we're pursuing the Lord, His goodness and His mercy. But now, David's got to the place, such faith has God created in him because he's become a doer. He's listening here in chapter 6. You have to realize that God's getting Joshua ready, getting the children of Israel ready. It started in chapter 3. Basically, the place of sanctification, we have to hear that word, then be willing to obey. If we plan to march forward into the victories, it'll be because God said it. I can tell you, folks, not one jot, one tittle's going to pass from His word. Brother Arliss, it's all going to be fulfilled. Everything God says to do must be done before we enter into the complete victory God has for us. Now, it'll take me a moment to set this in the stage that God wants me to before we preach to you a while. But they had victory. We stated earlier. They had victory over Egypt. They've got victory over the wilderness when they crossed that Jordan. They've got victory now. They brought the victory, a memorial, and set it up at the place of worship. Brother Arliss, now they're going back to bury. God says, I can tell you, folks, that horrible memory, that dreadful past, the enemy will bring us down into captivity to the law of sin if he can through our thoughts, and he'll make us think right in the battle we cannot do it because God remembers this and that. The only way, we stated Sunday night, he'll ever remember those past sins is if we allow the rivers of God to not flow good enough for them to be covered. I'll tell you, those stones that were placed there was placed there to signify he's not remembering that rebellion. He's not remembering that past failure, folks. But now he's remembering in chapter 6 when the Bible says the children of Israel straightway, they went up and they shut up Jericho. Why? Because God said, listen, number one, in the last part of chapter 5, of the man that stood with the sword in his hand. What did he say when Joshua said, are you for us or for our adversary? And Joshua stated this. Brother Mike Martin, he's standing there. That sword is typifying war. He's a man of war. And now he says that he has come captain of the Lord's host. I can tell you, folks, the only way will, from that point, right there, the captain of the Lord's host. What does a captain do? A captain gives orders in the battle. From that very instant, the captain of the Lord's host begins to say to Joshua, here's how this thing's going to work. I've got the sword. I'm going to fight this battle. You've got to just be obedient to my words. He begins to tell them the strategy, how it's to be done. And I know what gets me here in chapter 6, verse number 7. He sends out the men of war. But he said, God's already give the city, the mighty, the king, and the mighty men of valor. God says it's already been done. If you'll obey, listen, folks, the Lord's done said heaven's mine. If I'll just obey, the Lord's done said every principality and power of darkness of this world has to be subject to you or you or you. If you're obedient unto the Lord, he said we could cast out devils. We could do all these things in his name. But we've got to be obedient to the word of the Lord. Most folks today don't want to hear the word. Why? Because the captain of the Lord's host He stands there with that sword. It's sharper. This word sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut us both ways. Most folks don't want to hear it for that reason. They'd rather be pat on the back. They'd rather hear a patty cake message or sermon, if you will, than to hear from heaven. I can tell you most of the words that come from God in this hour that we live will be words of rebuke and reprove. Be some exhortation, I know that. But the majority of the time, the most of the folks today are not listening to what the captain of the host is saying. But Joshua says now, let me back up and go to another place before we go further in this. In the latter part of chapter 5, when Joshua heard him say, but he's captain of the Lord's host, he fell down because he said to him, pull off your shoes, for the ground you stand's holy ground. You know what holy ground typifies? Whatever's around it, it will begin to consume, and that will become holy. If the ground's holy, the individual standing there must become holy. They can't stand in the presence of a holy God. So Joshua says, everything of the past, of the failures and faults of the children of Israel, we're bringing it right here in the presence of the Almighty. And the captain of the host begins to say, the captain of this army begins to say, here's how it's to be done. You're going to compass this city once for 6 days. It's going to be done. Nobody's going to speak. And in this, listen, here's something that just began to ring in my spirit through this as I begin to study. Brother Arlen, this has got a hold of me till I get up a studying. I lay down a studying. Wake up at night thinking about it. I can't hardly let it go. It's more than just words. It's become a part of me, getting inside of me. It's begin to revive and to stir and to work inside of Leo Dye. I hope it does just a little bit in you what it's done a whole lot in me, old. He said 7 priests are going to bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Now listen, something significant about this word, 7. I begin to look at this. Let me read this to you again. So I'll get it all down just right. The 7s. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark. See, they're going before the ark. 7 trumpets of ram horns. The 7th day. Every bit of this has got to be followed out. Now, I can tell you, folks, I'm not one of them that looks at something and says, well, that just isn't real important. Who would have thought that a ram horn was that important? But I can tell you, if they'd have left, if they'd have took 6 ram horns and one priest hadn't had one, it wouldn't have worked. Why? Because they wouldn't have been totally obedient. You'll never get total victory without total obedience. And there's 7 priests, 7 trumpets to be sounded. The 7th day, and then they're going to go around 7 times. Well, I want to give you definitions in God's commentary. What 7 means? The number 7 means God's perfection, God's completion, God's totally, and God's all in all. And never would they, that's a reason why today, sometimes folks, we don't ever get the total victories that God wants us to have. It's because we don't go the whole way God wants us to. As I stated earlier, in chapter 6 of the book of John, that just about everybody there is willing to go to the distance. But when it got to the place, they said it's a hard saying. I'm going to be preaching on this here in a few services. Probably sometimes it gets hard, doesn't it? It's a hard saying. But I can tell you, friend, as I begin to look in the Word of God,
Brother Arliss, and I begin to search this out. This number 7 meaning completeness. We'll never be complete in the things of God. We'll never have the victory over totally as God wants us to have until we listen entirely. Every word, step by step, everything that the captain of the Lord's host commands, and we begin to obey that. We believe in tithing, don't we? We believe in giving a tenth. But I believe God's more concerned about a tenth of us than He is a tenth of what we have. If He's got a tenth of what we have, it's a whole lot easier for me to give a few dollars than it is to give of Leo. We may not have a lot of money. He ain't asking for something you don't have. If you got $10, he just asked for one. And it's a whole lot easier for me to give him one of that than I got 10 hours. Hey, now, Lord, I got to give you an hour of this 10. I got 24 hours in the day. That means 2 hours and 20 minutes in that day. That's all he's asking for. But how many of us is there here but what don't rob God in that area? I can tell you, friend, the church is getting in a sad condition. Our minds, we come to church, even right here at White Oak, I can tell. And Brother Arliss, I battle with it if I'm not careful. I was in Little Rock today, the most of the day, come home, and I thought, man, I couldn't sleep last night. Went to bed, I don't know, 11 o'clock or somewhere thereabout. 12:30, I'm still looking at the ceiling. I couldn't sleep. I was wore out. I couldn't sleep. Tried to hay yesterday and blowed my rotary cutter mower up. That thing swarmed all over, I reckon. Gears busted or something. And I don't think that upset me enough for me not to sleep. But I couldn't sleep hardly all night. I woke up this morning five something and finally got up, got in the shower, headed to Little Rock about 10 minutes after 6, and gone all day, and I got back this evening. I thought, Lord, I'd like to nap a while, but I picked up the Word of God, Brother Arliss, and I got more hungry for that than I did the things of the natural. Listen, folks, I can tell you, if I'm not careful, I'll begin to let down. If we're not careful, we'll begin to rob God of what God says is more valuable than anything else, and that's ourselves. Hearing what thus saith the Lord saying to us. No wonder our minds are so wore out. We let them run everywhere else before they ought to run. Thinking on this, that, and something else. When Paul said in Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any praise, if any virtue, think on these things. I can tell you, we'd be in much better shape when we come to the house of God if we could think on these things. The other day, I seen an article, a clipping, and it said free fish oil, I believe, or cod liver oil. Cod liver oil peels. It's natural, all natural. Gives you energy and it helps your mind. They say fish food is good brain protein. Now, I told Diane, I'm like the Stooges. One of them said, you need to fish for a whale. Sometimes I think I need something bad. But this was free. And I said, well, come to find out, when I called, it wasn't free. And they're going to give you a month's supply of these. It's supposed to be vegetables in a pill. I forgot what everything natural is supposed to be. It's broccoli, spinach, carrots, all this stuff ground up in a pill. And Nature's Valley, I believe, was the and come to find out, all you got to pay is shipping and handling. Well, that'd probably be a couple of dollars. $9.99. That's the highest shipping I ever seen on a bottle of pills. But anyway, going to send you a free gift. And they sent a free gift, and it's some kind of aging cream. I said, dear God, I don't need that. It'll get the wrinkles off your face. I could care less about that. I'd like to think better, feel better, and not be wore out and drugged down all the time. And I took one of them things, and about an hour later, I burped, and it tastes like fish oil. Exactly what it tastes. I thought, dear God in heaven, to go through this, to get, I don't know if it'll work or not, but I don't know if I want to go through this or not. Now, Somebody might, I was going to make a point in this. I'm not trying to be funny. I was going to make a point in this. I know we're wore out. I know we are. But I can tell you, if we do like Granny and Grandpa used to do, instead of getting a hold of nature's valley, trying to get the good deals, hey, God, we'd get a hold of the Lord God Almighty. We'd call on the captain of the Lord's host, and we begin to say to him, what shall I do? Shall I go as David said, or shall I forbear? Shall I stay here, or shall I pursue after him? I can tell you, folks, the Lord, the captain of the Lord's host, he began to tell us tonight what we're supposed to do. But most of us wouldn't like what he said. We'd want to change a little of it. I can tell you, I fear. For preaching, I feel for preachers because I'm one of them. I feel for preachers. Poor old Brother Leo. Poor old Brother Arliss, Brother Scott, and whoever, brother, sister, might be preachers here. But I feel for them because when you preach, now it's not as bad here at White Oak. I can sense a difference. Now, most of you, in a lot of my preaching, you'd say that in the last 2 or 3 years, my preaching's changed. God's delivered me from fear of expectation of the people. I pray, Lord, I wish you'd done this years ago, but God's delivered me from fear of the people. If I've got God, if God be for me, who can be against me? It's not as bad here. I'd rather preach here than anywhere I know. But I tell you, I go places that you could just tell. Folks look at you like you're plumb crazy when you begin to say you've heard from God. The Lord spoke to me, and I know this is the direction God. And Pentecostal folks will look at you like, yeah, I've heard that before. And everything you say just begins to, like pouring water on a duck's back, it just begins to run off of them. But I thought, as Joshua here, you see, it started when he began to find out this is holy ground. The only way for the victory to come entirety, as God intended for it to do, friend, it'll come on people that'll walk holy. It'll come on folks that'll talk holy. It'll come on folks that'll be holy. And what we do can't make us holy at all. It's what Jesus already done. We got to accept what was done at Calvary. And when we do that, and listen as he said to every church in the book of Revelations, to the seven, by the way, this is God's completion. His church is a complete church. He said to the seven churches of Asia, all of those churches, we fall in the category of one of them. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This is God's number. Totally. All in all. In other words, there's nothing else. That's everything. He's Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and last. John said, he that liveth and was dead, and behold, is alive for how long? Evermore. He's complete. He's complete. Now, we'll never get to total victory till we realize we're serving a complete God. And we are complete, not in ourselves, but in Him. We're complete. And as Joshua realized this, now his ear is attentive to thus saith the Lord. I can tell you, folks, the partial victories that come, it challenged the hearts of the priest. It challenged the hearts of the people that was willing to set aside what they thought, what they believed, how they felt, and they were sanctified, set apart into the work of the Lord. Now, the victory's coming. The past life's buried in that sea of forgetfulness, in that Jordan River, as the waters come back together there. Bury that past, never to be remembered again, as David said in the book of Psalms. Never to be remembered. God ain't going to remember. We remember it a lot of times. God doesn't remember that past. And now, I can tell you, he gives victory. He doesn't just give victory to people that's worthy of the victory. These folks, as far as most of the life of these, all they had saw was defeat and discouragement and hopelessness and murmuring and complaining. But now, as we stated Sunday night in chapter 5, as Moses had commanded, God had commanded Abraham, and it come on down through Moses, all of them that come out of Egypt had been circumcised. But now God said, do it again the second time. This is to a generation never been circumcised. And this was typifying that they had died in the flesh. Now in the New Testament, it's typifying that God circumcised that heart. I'm not thinking it anymore. I'm thinking through a new heart, through a new mind. I'm a new preacher in Christ. Now I'm following in the Word of God. You ever come up in something in the Word you didn't like? Sure you have. If you hadn't, you ain't never read any of it. Boy, I didn't read very far until I found something. Well, I don't believe we need to talk about that. Hello? Am I the only one that's ever thought that? Well, I mean, we'd talk about the men going fishing or deer hunting on Sunday and having habits or something that might hinder them in the work of the Lord. Old women holler amen. And if you ever hit on soap operas or something like that, the man holler amen. They say, we don't need to hit these areas. There's areas, every one of us, when we find something there that might hit home, it registers true reality. What Joshua is saying here, God speaking, the Lord speaking through the captain of the Lord's host. I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking right there to Joshua. I'm going to fight this battle, Joshua, but you've got to listen to every word that's being spoken. I can tell you, folks, that's why it's so important. I fear to even let down Brother Arliss in any area in this book, because every word of it's vital. When he spoke of the seven priests and the seven ram horns, and he spoke of the 6 days and then the seventh day, why was it the seventh day? That's what the Lord, the captain of the Lord's host, said. And then the seventh day marked seven times. That means completeness, total victory, if you will. If you were to look in the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18, I believe it is, you'd find the story of a man named Naaman. He's a leper. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a man that's been looked up to because of his valor in war and prosperity in war. But he's a leper's man. He's an outcast. But I can tell you, as he goes down, and the man of God tells him, Elisha just tells him, just go. He didn't even come out. Sends his servant, said, go down there in the Jordan and dip. How many times? Seven times. If you'll go down seven times, you'll be clean. He was angry. I can tell you, folks, if he'd have went six, he'd have went back just like he come. If he'd have went five, he'd have went back just like he come. God's number, seven, is a number of completion in the eyes of God. And the man of God said, go down seven times. And he went down seven times. It didn't happen the sixth time, but the seventh time, the Bible says that he looked and his flesh was as the flesh of a child. God granted that miracle of completion in his life because he obeyed what God said. He obeyed what God said. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, I believe it is, Elijah chapter 18, maybe Elijah, I got these mixed up in chapter, but Elijah goes out to Mount Carmel and he sends Gehazi out. And the Bible says he went out and he come back and said, there's nothing. Not? Have you ever asked anybody, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. There ain't no way that can be done. Think about it. I'm pretty ignorant. But nothing's just simply nothing. The only time nothing's ever happened, when God took it and he made something. Ever since then, there ain't never been nothing. Think about that. I ain't got no PhD, but I got a little common sense logic. The kids will say, oh, I said, what are you doing? Nothing. Can't be done. You've been guilty, probably said it today. Oh, I ain't doing nothing. That's a lie. Ain't can't be done. Nothing's nothing. And you don't even know what nothing is. So you can't do nothing. You're doing something all the time. It may be something not worthwhile, but you're doing something. But I can see he come back And when he sent him out, he come back and he said, "There's nothing." Now you talk about getting discouraged. I might get discouraged if somebody told me what you're saying ain't accomplishing. Ain't nothing there. And what did he say to it? He said, "Go back again and again." And there's a seventh time, folks. That's God's number of completion. It was the seventh time before anything happened. I can tell you, folks, we give up a lot of times. Brother Arliss, just about the time God's fixing to do something, we give up. We hadn't really got the expectation. Now, Gehazi may not have had it like Elijah had it. But I can tell you, God gave Elijah of the vision of the rain. And when he sent him back the seventh time, it was God's number of completion. You see, God can take nothing and make something out of it. When he looked out, he come back and said, "There is a little cloud. That hopelessness might have left like a man's hand." I can tell you whose hand it was. The captain of the Lord's host was reaching out. And Elijah said, "Go down." No, Gehazi said, "Go down and tell Ahab to get down to Jezreel and let not the rain stop thee." Whoo! What rain? The man that saw nothing would say, "What rain?" But in the meanwhile, the heavens were open. And there's a rain. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years, by the way. But it rained. God, because somebody was willing to do just what God said. Don't give up. You be sensitive to hear the voice of God. I have victory over. A lot of times, I'm going on into this a little further weekend. And God showed me, we've talked all the way through, getting the victory is not the hard part. Keeping that victory will cost you. It'll cost you to keep the victory. And I can tell you, folks, getting where they's at wasn't the hardest part. They've got the victory now. And I can tell you, fighting the battle of Jericho, that's not hard, because God's fighting it. When we obey every word that the captain of the Lord's host says after we've been set apart. Number one, it's impossible for the flesh to obey the Spirit. We have to be set apart. The flesh cannot mind the things of God. It's impossible. The best you want to, you can't do it. And Joshua recognized who he is. And when he set his own holy ground, he pulled off them shoes. And that work of God began to start. And he's listening to the Lord, the captain of the Lord's host. And now, every T, every I that the Lord said, "I'm going to do." The number seven being completion. A seven priests. A seven ram's horns. A 7 days. And a 7 marches. Repeatedly used. This is completion. Never did the total victory come until it was completed. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says, 6 days did God work. And he created. But there was not a completion till the day of rest. The seventh day, God rested. And you know what he said? He saw that it was all good. It's completed. There's something about the number seven being the perfectness, the completeness, the all in all of God. And as the Lord began to speak this in my heart, as I begin to study this, come in this evening, and if I go down, I wanted to go on down through verse number 10, but it'd take a while for me to get in that. Got to go a different area to get in that. But I can tell you tonight, folks, the victory, when it'll cost us if we get the victory. But it'll really cost us if we keep the victory. Been a lot of folks that started the victory. I don't want to jump the gun in this, get the cart before the horse, if you will. But you can read on over of the battle at Ai. It wasn't near the battle this was, but they didn't have the man of war. The captain of the Lord's host is not leading this battle. It'll cost us. We got to keep that ear tuned. We got to keep that ear tuned. When we're here in the service at White Oak, it's a lot easier for us to hear it from the Lord. Let me give you just a few more scriptures concerning the number 7. Solomon, a man of wisdom, said in the book of Proverbs 24:16, the just man riseth after falling 7 times. If he fall, there's something about that number. There's just something about that number. The question was asked by Peter, I believe it was, to Jesus, Lord, if my brother sinneth again me 7 times, shall I forgive him? Something about that. This complete completion in God. All in all. And he said, not just 7, but 7 times 70. Still, 2 number 7s in that. Something about it, folks. Our life. You know what's lacking in most people's lives in the world today. How could you say that, Brother Dye? The Bible says it. Going to be a few that's going to follow him all the way. Many that started, going to be a few that's going to follow, but there's going to be a lot that's going to hell. Many's going to choose the broad road. And what's wrong in most folks' lives today that makes them miserable? What's wrong in most marriages today that makes their marriage miserable? What's wrong in most son and father and mother and daughter, or however it may be, relationships making it miserable, is because their life is not complete. Most of the time, when I find the greatest battles that I face usually will be when I've not listened to everything that God wants me to. Preacher, are you telling me that sometimes you miss the Lord? Oh, am I telling you I miss the Lord? You're shocked, aren't you? Well, don't look so shocked. Never been but one perfect man. As Brother Gerald stated in the testimony, I might miss him just simply because I didn't praise him for something he done. I might miss him because I rushed off and didn't give attendance to the Word of God that God wants. I might miss him in a lot of areas, but I can tell you this, folks. Our life will never be complete in all, except he be complete in our life. That's what's going to make it complete in all. I don't need better things to make me happy. I don't need this. I read on this, which Diane says that sometimes they use unborn babies in that stuff. And I don't know, that really scares me. But I ain't got no interest in making my face look any better. Looks good enough. I ain't got time to stand in the mirror and look around. It look good enough for me and the Lord. And if you don't like it, you just turn your head, all right? As far as I know, I ain't trying to impress anybody. My wife, I couldn't impress her, whatever I've done. So if the Lord be impressed and pleased, that's good enough. But I was looking at this, and I was reading up on it, and it said, would you like to be 50 and look 25 again? I know some men that are, think they are. They dyed their mustache. They dyed their whiskers. And they dyed their hair, and they're spiking their hair. And what do you call that? Skunking their hair. Streaking their hair. Whatever it is. What is it? Frosting their hair. Mine's frosted naturally. And they're in a 55-year-old body and their mind's 20-year-old. And I thought, that just something ain't right about that. So that didn't impress me at all. But I tell you, I believe what ought to impress us, and I know it will God, is our completeness in Him. For Paul said, I'm closing this. Somebody come get us a song. Paul said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Nothing else ought to be important in our life but living and moving and having our being in Him. Because our life is never complete except we be in Him. Except we be in Him. I have the victory over. There's a couple of other areas before we're finished with this that I want to go to. I tell you, I am so amazed at how you preach something over and over and over, Brother Arliss, and when something's needed, if you just really are attentive to the Spirit and hear, God will reach out and show you things in something you never saw. Folks, if there ever was a day we need victory, it's today. It's today. I hope tonight that I've said something. Maybe I haven't been, I hadn't jumped any pews. Hope I hadn't put you to sleep. If I have, I'll invite you to the altar first. If there ever was a day, folks, we need to give our ear to what the Spirit's saying is today. It's right now. Could I ask you tonight, all over the building, if we'd reach out for just a little while?